Now it's time to get the latest from the quarterback of the pack, Aaron Rodgers. It's Tuesdays with Aaron. Here's your host, Jason Wilde.
Boom, 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 boom.
Tell me what you're going to
do. It is the Aaron Rodgers Show, Tuesdays with Aaron. Good hustle. I'm glad you made it.
Yeah, right on time.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing part of the game plan so I can get ready for the game. How you doing?
Well, it's been a rough couple of days.
Yeah,
around the facility.
Obviously, the sad news today became official as Oshkosh police announced that it was in fact Michael Philbin, offensive coordinator Joe Philbin's 21-year-old son, that was found in the Fox River near Oshkosh, or in Oshkosh. You've talked before on this program about how much Joe means to you and how highly you think of him. What have the last 48 hours been like?
It's been tough. It's been tough. I mean, this is it's like a family, our team, coaching staff, support staff. You know, it's hard to try and describe the feelings. You know, came in here on Monday and found out that things weren't looking good. I think everybody was nervous about it. You know, then heard the news Monday afternoon, and man, it's been tough. You know, we all love Joe. Me probably as much or more than anybody in here, just how much he's meant to me and my development, and just, you know, how important it is, the time we get to spend each week, and how he gets us prepared, and just his presence around here. It's just tough to see him and Diane and the family dealing with this. We've all just been really upset. You know, there's been a lot of it this year, actually. You know, with TJ's father passing on Thursday, and other offensive linemen dealing with family stuff. So it's been tough, and this always kind of gives you perspective on, you know, as much fun as we have playing ball, just how there's some bigger issues, you know, that we deal with each day.
Michael, one of six kids the Philbins have, and, you know, you and he are both alike. Every time I see you, you're asking about the girls. He's clearly a coach and a parent, and he's often likened coaching and parenting and talked about the parallels there. Can you kind of go over again how important he is to what you guys do offensively? Because, you know, I don't know how much he's going to work this week, if at all, but I think there are people who kind of assume incorrectly that because he doesn't call the plays, he's not really, really important to how things operate on a football level around here.
No, Joe's very important, our success and the day-to-day stuff, from you know, all the coaching responsibilities he has, installing plays and explaining plays, his role in those meetings, the way that he, you know, helps get practice run the right way. Yeah, he does a ton for us. And as players, we probably don't even see half the stuff that he does to get us ready during the week. So we're going to miss him. Yeah, we really are. You know, I think as a player, you love to play, you love the games, you love the preparation, but the thing that's going to stick with you long after you're done playing is the guys and the relationships. And, you know, as player to player, player to coach, player to support staff, player to personnel staff, player to fan, obviously. But the player to coach relationship is very special. To me, it always has been. And Joe has been, you know, a large part of my success as a player, growth as a person. I really enjoy our conversations together. Make sure we spend time every Friday, catching up, talking about things, and you know, just really, really hard to see a good friend like that going through this. You know, obviously, got to know his wife a little bit, and met most of the kids on different occasions, and it's just it's a difficult time.
The juxtaposition between football and this kind of tragedy, I mean, it's not even close. Is there anything as you go into this game on Sunday against the Giants? It's obviously a big game. in the playoffs, divisional playoff game. Is there anything to supporting him by playing well or rallying around him? It certainly doesn't take away any of the pain or anything he's going through, but as a football team, is there anything you can do on a football field that you can do as a tribute to him or anything like that?
I think just conducting ourselves the way we always have. You know, Joe is a professional in every sense of the word as a coach. He's a great human being, man of integrity, high character, high moral standard. And I think, you know, just honoring him and the family by preparing the way we're supposed to prepare, doing the things that he stresses each week. When he talks to us on Monday about the previous game and talks to us on Wednesday about our game objectives and just doing those things that he's always preached and talked about, I think it's the best way to honor his memory.
We have a lot of fun on this show, or at least I do. Maybe it's not quite as fun for you at the other end of the microphone, but there's no good conversational segue from this. I mean, has it been as hard as I would imagine it to be? Because I'm not as close to Joe as you are, but he's always been wonderful to me. He's someone that I admire and respect a ton. I mean, I assume that this is something that it goes in and out of your mind almost the whole time while you're trying to prepare and get ready for this.
No, it does. You know, we're all professionals, and you have to be able to separate the off the field from the on the field stuff and make sure when you're at work it's your main focus, but we're human as well, and the human element in this is that it's on your mind. You're thinking about it. You're thinking about Joe. We're going to miss Joe if he's not in here this week, which nobody's expecting him to be able to be in here. But we want to make sure him and his wife and the family, can have their time to go through their morning and dealing with this, knowing that we're supporting them, praying for them, and there with them. A lot of people have gone to see him over there. I've talked to him. What do you say to somebody, who's lost their son in a tragic way like this? There's, at 28, there's no words that I can say to comfort him. But just wanted him to know how much I care about him and Diane and the family, and that I'm praying for him. But I think, once we get in here on Wednesday, it's going to be about beating the Giants and making sure we're doing everything to be ready to play our best game.
I was looking forward to talking to you today because it appeared to be a fun weekend for you. Now, a lot of people didn't know on Tuesday we pulled a fast one a little bit in terms of radio magic. We pre-recorded the show because you were off recording your new State Farm ad. It ran during the weekend. I saw it during the playoff games. How did you think it turned out?
I think it turned out good. It's amazing they can get a commercial turnaround in 4 days. Film that on Tuesday with BJ and also Clay. I'm not sure when the Clay spot's going to come out.
So there's a separate ad with Clay because you kind of teased the.
Yes, there is. There is another
one. Fathead commercial. He.
I'm not sure if they're going to use it. I'm hoping they do. But the BJ one was a lot of fun. It's always when you spend, 8+ hours, working on a commercial like this and the different camera angles and shots you use, you wish it could be a 2-minute commercial because there's so many funny things that unfortunately had to get cut out, more dancing, a different perspective on the dancing with more extras being used and little, the four main characters a little more into their dance moves that you just wish could have been used a little bit more. Another side piece about Adrian, the big guy,
that's the guy at the door?
Yeah, the guy at the door with the cheese head. A whole piece about him and I interacting that unfortunately couldn't be used. But, you're constrained by time, obviously, in those situations. But a lot of fun. I mean, a great group to work with. Rob and Julie, who are the husband and wife, who've been in the commercial now twice, are a blast to work with. Rob is absolutely hilarious, as is Julie. Very talented. She's actually in a Broadway show as well. So
wow.
She doubles as a singer on Broadway. Rob is incredibly funny and great to work with. Our director, our producer, our wardrobe guy. I mean, they're all just great people to work with. The writers have a lot of great ideas, so it's just a fun crew. And now that I've been able to do it twice now with them, 3 different commercials if you count the Clay one, it's been a lot of fun. I learned a lot about about how to be better. I don't know if this, you know, was a better acting job by me, but I was happy with the way it turned out. Happy for BJ. I thought he did a good job. He had more lines that they ended up cutting out, but it was overall a fun event. I think it turned out good, and I'm just really impressed with the editing people. They could get it turned around that quickly.
So now, are you okay with kind of being the straight man in a couple of these? Because, you know, BJ gets to be the really funny one, and obviously, like you said, Rob is kind of getting the most run as the funny guy. You know, your reaction is funny, but you do kind of play the straight guy a little bit, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I like to be the funny guy at times. You know, but it's a lot easier when other people can kind of be funny by making fun of you or giving you opportunities to have a funny facial expression or just a weird reaction that could come off as funny. Kind of like when I said when I did David Letterman, the best part about that interview was that he set me up for all my just right. little one-liners, because he basically had this whole lead into a question and then boop, a little softball into you to, you know,
good
to,
interviewers
to say something.
Do that.
Yes. you know, in a commercial where they can make fun of me and make fun of the belt and draw attention to what they want to draw attention to, but use some humor in it as well. I think it's been a lot of fun, and enjoy working with those people, and hopefully we can keep doing it.
I watched the extended version of the E60 piece that Jeremy Schapp and ESPN did. A lot of great things in there.
I haven't seen it. I remember doing the interviews. I did the interviews, but I have not seen the
extended
version.
I know your mom embarrasses you a little bit in there.
She always does.
And I know you get to talk about Jack and the Mac Fund and how much they mean to you. I thought it was interesting that they had an advertising exec on there who compared you to Peyton Manning in terms of your potential as a, I don't want to say pitchman, but a actor and doing commercials. Is that, I mean, are you having enough fun that you want to do more of it, or are you still going to be very selective?
I like to be selective. I mean, my time is important to me, and, you know, these are fun to do, but it is a like a work day. I mean, you're going over lines, you're changing outfits, you're rehearsing with the good. And, you know, it's not like you're just kind of hanging out. You want it to be good. I want it to be good. I want it to be, you know, to come off funny and to make sure, you know, that I'm representing myself well and the company we're working with. And so I want it to be really good. That being said, being compared to Peyton, that's a high compliment, because I think he's hilarious, and I think his ads have been incredible. Saturday Night Live, which it's shown some interest in me doing it. His performance was incredible, I thought, on Saturday Night Live. Tough to match.
Now, did you see your boy Barkley on Saturday
Charles.
Night?
I love Charles. Charles is my guy. Charles has been I've been going to Lake Tahoe for 7 years for that the golf event out there. American Century Championship, which is the highlight of my summer, and the people with NBC and Edgewood and American Century have been incredible. And Charles, though, since the first year I got there, has been so supportive of me. You know, when I got there as a rookie, you know, he knew who I was. But Charles, being a sports fan, was great from the first time I met him, and always look forward to seeing him. I liked him on Saturday Night Live. I thought it was good. Maybe he was reading his lines a little bit much, but
it's a tough gig.
I can't judge, because I've never been there. It seems like it'd be a lot of work and very difficult. So I give Charles credit for going on there. I thought the best skit, minus one character in it, which really kind of bothered me, was the TNT set. I thought that was excellent. I love Knuckle Puck guy from Mighty Ducks. Who's on there? I wish I could recall his name at the moment. Keenan, I think, is hilarious on SNL, and his role as Barkley and Charles as Shaq, I thought, was really good. And that was kind of the highlight for me.
You mentioned being selective about your partnerships, and you did start a new partnership this week with Prevea Health, which is obviously a local Green Bay-based company. And I have to be honest, you're supposed to be promoting, you know, health and diet and overall fitness. Charity is supposed to start at home. Maybe you could have started helping me out and then branched out into helping everybody else.
Well, maybe you can start working with Prevea a little bit. Get that diet going a little more.
That's good advice.
Get leaned up for
how did this come about, and what What does this all entail?
Well, it's a process when you work with a corporation of making sure you your vision aligns and kind of what they they're asking you or wanting you to represent with their company is something you believe in. So I like to align myself with companies that have the same vision, and I'm very excited to be working with Purveya, and I enjoy their heart. If you read their mission statement and the things that they believe in, I think it's pretty incredible when you're talking about health and wellness and fitness and making sure that you're combating things like childhood obesity, which is something that is a problem with our country. And I think if you've seen in the last 20 to 30 years, my dad's a great example of that. I mean, he's tried just about every diet you could think of, from the Atkins to the caveman diet to you name it. He's probably tried it. But health and wellness is so important in this country if we're talking about disease prevention and different things that come from obesity or lack of a healthy lifestyle. So I'm very excited to be working with Purveya and excited about the partnership. The things they care about are things that I've really grown to care about this off season. It really become important to me about health and wellness and making sure that I'm getting myself in shape, but also passing on some of the knowledge that I've learned in order for other people to live a healthier lifestyle.
Was that important? One of the things that you've talked about in the past is that you did focus more on nutrition, and I know Mike McCarthy used to give you a hard time about your body fat and those kinds of things.
He still does.
Was that part of it? You wanted to align yourself with a company that gave you the opportunity to kind of, I don't want to say preach the gospel of that, but that's obviously become much more important to you than it was.
Well, I think when you're thinking about companies you want to align yourself with, it's a lot easier if you really share the same heart and vision to be able to talk about something if you're going to be a spokesperson. So much like I did with the Mac Fund, kids with cancer are very dear to my heart. It goes back to hanging out with little Daniel, who had leukemia back in Chico, and just the impact he had on my life. So when I got to spend time with Jack and Emily and get to hear their story and their families and have an impact on raising money for research for kids with cancer, that's right up my alley. Same thing with Purveya. When I get to spend time with people who really care about health and wellness and fitness, things that are essential to my success and have really become more important to me over the last calendar year, it's a no-brainer.
Trying to figure out how I actually fit into that you're sitting and doing a show with me. That may be the...
Don't look too far into it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. When we return, we'll look ahead and we'll talk football in its entirety, especially looking ahead to this game and finding out a little bit more about what it's like to face an opponent that you faced in the regular season. I heard you said something about that on last week's show. You are listening to the Aaron Rodgers Show.
We have the Packers covered with Jason Wilde on 540 ESPN and ESPNMilwaukee.com.
The air guitar in the seat alongside me.
It's a great choice there, Fish.
As we go to the second half of the Aaron Rodgers Show. Who is that?
That's Amber Lynn.
You're into that.
Those are my guys. Those are my guys. I know the majority of the guys in that band. Excellent, excellent human beings. Incredible musicians. The CD that's on is one of my top three all-time favorite CDs. So.
There you go. There's incredible. Your music recommendation Amberlin. Of the day. I'm going to have to download that on iTunes because yep. Nobody has CDs.
Check it out. It was actually the other night. Went over to Sports Corner with Brett Good, which is interesting. Yeah, I never – I guess it's just how I was raised, but I didn't go into a bar until I was 21 years old. I thought that was the legal age. I guess it's a little different other places. Went over to Sports Corner the other night to watch the Cotton Bowl, Arkansas.
Right. Brett Good's team.
Kansas State with Brett. Yeah, Brett and I were over there watching the game and didn't realize how many little kids were in there. Surprised by that a little
really?
Bit.
Really? I told Paula not to go watch the game there with the girls.
Yeah, I know. But I know it's a bar/restaurant, so different rules there. But don't know, just interesting.
So, speaking of Brett, is he among the captains? Is he a special teams captain, or does the long snapper get
Is that public news yet? Or
I don't know. I'm assuming you're one of them, unless
I did make
unless
it this
they've
year, yes, I
replaced
made
you
it.
With Matt Flynn.
I made it.
So you can do your photo bombing. What do you do when you're a captain now? Because you're captain for the next, hopefully, three games.
Well, you get to take a picture with the other captains in suit and tie, which is fun, a cool little thing to hang on the wall. And then you get to be the captain. But Wood's going to probably call the coin toss. That's kind of his deal. I'm totally fine with that. I'm a tails never fails kind of guy, but Wood likes to call heads. So,
have you broken down his winning percentage? Is he pretty good?
He's pretty good.
He nailed it in that overtime game in Arizona. I thought that was going to be the second biggest play of the game there after you guys would go in and score. So you don't get to call the coin toss.
If there's three captains during the regular season, I usually call it. The other two guys are usually a little nervous being captain.
Okay.
It's kind of old hat for me.
Good to know. Well, let's look ahead to the game that you'll be not calling the coin toss for, and that would be...
Or the plays.
Against the Giants. Yes, you'll actually be executing them as opposed to the last game. How far into your preparation for the Giants are you? You just played them 6 weeks ago. Does your preparation change considering that you did that study in, you know?
Well, I think you want to keep it as normal as possible, and so I'm into my preparation on a normal Tuesday. I've watched plenty of film and meet with the coaches, talk about the things that we want to do. So I'm well in my preparation. We played them a few weeks ago. They're not doing a whole lot of stuff differently. Playing better, I would say. They're playing better as a whole. They played really good against the Falcons, shut them down, took away the stuff they wanted to do, eliminated the big plays, did a great job on third and fourth down. Some of those short ones, they were able to stop them. Big momentum, changing plays. So they're playing well. They got a great group of guys that play well together, very well coached. I think they have the kind of personnel they want. They're executing the way they want to. They have a lot of guys that can rush the passer. Jason Pierre-Paul is one of the premier guys in the league. Justin Tuck, OC, Dave Tollefson, Canty, Kiwanuka. You know, there's a lot of guys that can get after the passer well. The linebackers are playing well. The back end is playing well. Not sure what Ross's status is going to be with the concussion, but, Corey Webster is one of the top corners in the league. And they have three safeties they use with Phillips, Grant, and Antrell. And Antrell is a very versatile guy, play up high, or he can play down the slot, play more of a corner position. So, it's going to be a tough test for us.
Whenever we use the words like recipe, blueprint, formula, I'm afraid that I'm going to get the off-season workouts speech. It's not the way to beat you. But everyone does talk about their front four and their ability to get some pressure with that group. How much of a focus is that this week? And obviously you want your offensive line to play well every week, but Cliffy, he's got 25 snaps since October 9th. How important is the offensive line, and how much of a challenge does that front four present for you?
Well, they're a good front four. They're really good. I mean, they're, as a whole, is probably as good as you're going to see. In the league, as far as getting after the passer well, good push up the middle. Canty is, they're long. They're, Canty's 6'7", Pierre-Paul's close to that. And, long arm guys that, if they're not getting to the passer, they're going to try and jump up and tip the ball. Very athletic guys. So it's going to be important for us to pass protect well. Regardless of who we're playing, that's what we start with. The protection is important to our success. Having the offensive line back together to start the season for the first time in a long time, I think week two or three.
Week three when Bulaga went down in Chicago.
Yeah, that's going to be important. Having Cliffy back and Brian back, and the way that the interior three have played. I mean, TJ, Scott, and Josh have played excellent for us. Scotty's probably been our most consistent lineman for the last three or four years. And Josh... the last two or three has been right there with them. So it's been great having those guys. TJ's had an excellent season for us. Been so versatile, so consistent. So those three guys need to have a good game and, stymie that rush up the middle. And then the two guys off the edge need to slow Pierre-Paul and Tuck and OC and Dave down. Those guys flip-flop sides and move around a little bit. So they're going to face all of them, and they need to have success for us to be able to do the things we want to do passing the ball.
I want to hit on all of your favorite buzzwords. What about rust? We talked a little bit about
this. Not worried about it.
That the,
not worried about it. Still not worried about it.
I understand.
Not worried about it. Still not worried about it. Don't believe in it.
The time off that you did get from playing, does it...
Nope.
You haven't been on the injury report at all, but did it give you some time to whatever things didn't rise to the level of making the injury report? Did it give you some time to rest those, and do you feel as healthy as you felt? I know you're never 100% after the first practice of training camp, but do you feel pretty good physically?
No, it was great. You know, good time to make sure I got my workouts in. I stuck around this weekend and, you know, got a couple workouts in, feeling good, feeling healthy. It's nice to have a little bye week late in the season like that. And then, you know, obviously the week before didn't play either. So feeling about as good as I can. I think our team is as healthy as we've been all season. We're getting Greg back, James Starks back. Cliffy, obviously, is going to play a big role for us. Brian's back. Defensively, we probably need a break, too, with Charles and Clay. I'm sure they've been dealing with stuff all season. I think they were actually on the injured list, so
they
had some legitimate injuries that they've been dealing with. So great for all of us to get a break. Some guys took off and really got away from it, but everybody else, I think, just had a good mental break and physical break.
Just like riding a bike with your number one receiver, Greg Jennings, I mean, the three games that he missed, no problem. Do you have to do any extra work in practice this week to get back on the same page, or is that?
Well, you probably need to give him a couple balls in practice this week just to make him feel comfortable making those plays at full speed again. But I'm not worried about Greg. Greg's a special talent, and I think the best thing to happen for him is Jordy having that success late in the year. And Jordy's an excellent player for us. So it's kind of, it'll be interesting to see who Webster goes with, because he generally goes with the top receiver. So I don't know if they're going to consider Greg when he comes back the top guy, or Jordy because of the success he's had this season. But we're real happy having both those guys.
You know, one other guy that he hasn't had a huge impact in the offense, but I think he's helped your offense in terms of field position, has been Randall Cobb. Has it... You know, one of the things that we kind of looked at last year that you guys struggled with as a team was the return game. Does it make your job easier as a quarterback when maybe you've got a returner who's dangerous, sometimes can take the ball to the end zone himself, and other times can get you some pretty good field position?
That's great. It really is. You know, it's changed our team. You have teams kicking the ball away from them now, or you know, kicking the ball end over end every time just to make sure he's not getting any returns. Those are potential big momentum swings or game changing situations potentially. So it's been great for us. I think having a kicker as consistent as Mason and the ability to put the ball in the end zone a lot of times off the kickoff has been great. Tim has been an incredible punter for us. I mean, I think people don't get enough. People don't understand, I don't think, how difficult it is to kick the ball in Green Bay in the winter time, and having a weapon like Tim with his versatility, being able to kick the ball real deep with a normal punt or doing the rugby style, he's been great for us. So I'm really happy for Tim and Mason. Very consistent long snapper. You never want to say his name because he likes to remain anonymous, as all long snappers do, but a lot of consistency in that part of the game. Randall's done an excellent job. And then you have the guys who really have embraced their role this year on special teams. Ryan Taylor, has been incredible on special teams for us, making plays, being a guy who's double-teamed a lot of times on those teams. And obviously Jared Bush, who's one of our special teams captains, has had another good year on special teams. DJ Smith and Robert Francois, what they add to the special teams. It helps when those guys are playing well. I mean, that can win games for you.
One more thing looking ahead to Sunday before we get to your Ask Aaron questions. The forecast calling for mid-20s, not the unseasonable golf weather that we have today in the 40s. I don't know what the wind factor has been predicted to be, but how do you feel about the weather forecast as you kind of look ahead to Sunday?
I wouldn't mind about 10 or 15 degrees, to be honest with you.
Really?
That's kind of what I was hoping for. I think we can still be effective throwing football in that weather, but... Yeah, the colder it gets, I think the bigger advantage we could potentially have.
It was awfully cold the last time these guys played you in a home playoff game.
Why are people talking about that? There was only like 10 to 15 guys who were actually on that team.
16
still with
us. 16? On your team, yeah.
There you go.
Well, no, I just meant more the temperatures of the game. I mean,
yeah, that was brutal. Maybe not that cold.
Okay.
Yeah.
You'll pass.
Tom Coughlin's face, I think, is requesting it not to be that cold.
Yes. We will. Let's get to the Ask Aaron questions. If you want to submit one, you can always do that via the Twitter of the hashtag Ask Aaron. The first one actually came via email from Philip. You mentioned last week that the term system quarterback elicits visions of quarterbacks who, quote, can't make all the throws. We hear commentators say all the time, he can make all the throws. So what are all the throws? What are the throws that separate the different tiers of quarterback? I thought that was a really interesting question.
That's a good question. Yeah, that's a great question. I think I've rethought my my system quarterback answer.
Oh, did you want to get to that before you answer Philip's question?
Yes. I think we're all system players. Tom Brady, been in the similar system his entire career. Peyton Manning, been in system his entire career. Many of the West Coast great quarterbacks from the same system their entire career. I think there's got to be a delineation between.
Oh, sorry. I got the highs.
System covering up for some of the flaws that a player might have, and a player who makes the system better by their talents.
So you still, but you know when people say that, that's not what they mean.
I know, but I'm saying it. I think,
like what they mean is what they said about you coming out of Cal, right?
Potentially. Now onto the all the throws question. I think there's some throws in the league that that some quarterbacks can't make with a lot of accuracy or efficiency, and a lot of those are the down the field throws, the deep ends, the deep outs, the comebacks, the throws. Down the rail, as they call it, kind of in between a safety and corner and a cover two system. So, yes, there are some throws that not every quarterback can make. I think at times the guy can make all the throws is kind of a blanket statement that might not have a whole lot of meaning. Just kind of be some jargon by a sportscaster.
What throw have you gotten? Have you had the most improvement in?
I think the deep throw. I've always felt like I've thrown a pretty deep ball and fairly accurate, but I think this year I've gotten to the point where it's been mostly accurate.
Jake and Daniel asked similar questions. Daniel, how much does it motivate you that the national and local media almost act as though the Giants are the team to beat in this game? And Jake, do you feel like you have something to prove to your doubters? I know you didn't like my Air Jordan comparison, but I know you also like to use motivation the way he does. How are you using that this week?
Well, you know what? I don't think that anything that anybody says, from Coach Fuel to Jason Pierre-Paul to Antrell to Justin Tucker, any of those guys who might say anything this week, or any of our guys who might say anything this week, it's really not going to have a bearing on the game. So I've always felt like midweek talk, it's kind of fun to look at, or I've never been big on the whole bulletin board stuff. It's not going to have an impact on the game. That being said, regardless of who the experts are picking this week, we feel like having the game at home, the one thing that we're really hoping for is that we get a crowd that's really into the game. You know, our fans are excellent, but we're calling for some extra noise this week and the excitement. And we're hoping to put a product on the field that's going to make them excited and cheer very loudly. But, we need to utilize that home field advantage that we have here. And it means a lot in the playoffs. If we can have a loud and raucous crowd and start fast the way we want to, we really feel like that's going to be an advantage for us.
It is a little bit funny that a team goes 15-1 and the teams to beat in the NFC apparently are the Giants, the 49ers, and the Saints.
That's fine.
Tim wonders, he bought a photo back in 2008 of you during the Seahawks game in Seattle where you're pointing to the sky after a big play, and he says that's happened obviously before. He's just wondering, is there any significance to that, or is that just something that you've done from time to time?
I think it's just something I've done from time to time. Usually when I run on the field, I give a little point up. That kind of started back when I was a rookie. I just wanted to make sure that very subtly I just thank God for the opportunity to take the field. And I started doing that in training camp where I was just, man, I'm living out a dream. So just nothing that's going to catch any – I'm not doing it to catch anybody's attention or be in a photograph. They're going to be taken when they may. But when I take the field, I usually just give a point up, just thanking God for the opportunity to take the field again, because I don't take it as I don't take it lightly. I know it's a privilege, an opportunity, and very thankful that I'm healthy that play to run on the field and do what I love to do.
A couple of lighthearted questions. Emily wonders, what is your favorite Disney movie?
I have a lot. I actually, one of the first things that came to mind, I was actually asked this question about a week ago. I said Iron Will. Which is
that the dog movie?
Yeah, but then I got some weird faces because I think when they said Disney, they were expecting me to say an animated film.
Right.
So if I were to pick an animated film, I'd probably have to say Lion King.
But Iron Will, must have come out when you were a fairly small fellow, right?
Yeah, I was younger, definitely.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, I remember that. Ken wants to know, I'm in the delivery room with my wife. Do you have a name suggestion for a baby girl? Erin, E-R-I-N?
I heard that Madison's very popular.
It is. It's getting yelled at a lot.
I'm wondering, though, because Dave Carr, who's plays for the Giants, actually, I believe last I heard that all of his boys were named after cities in Texas. I think it was Austin. I'm not sure what the other names are. I don't want to ruin this. But I'm wondering if there's a potential, if there's enough good names from Wisconsin that you could potentially name all your children after Wisconsin City names. Now, Madison would work. You got to help me here. What other
Sydney
names?
Sydney didn't work out as
what
well.
What other names
that.
Could you, you know, Kenosha, would that be a good name? Or
Oconomowoc.
Mequon.
Yeah.
Wausau. I mean, those really aren't
good first names. If I have a son, I can name him Chico in your honor.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking that would kind of be something fun to do.
I appreciate your input on that. Yeah. Finally, this one comes from Pat. What's the story? He watched the E60 piece. What's the story behind the picture of a young Aaron Rodgers holding up a Packers sweatshirt?
I don't think there's a whole major story that anybody would be excited to hear.
Because you were a 49ers guy.
I was a 49ers guy. I believe the picture is from about 12 or maybe 13. I think we just moved back to California maybe. But, I mean, I've always been a fan of teams but also individual players. I went through a time when Joe ended up retiring. You know, I still followed the Niners and was a fan of Steve Young's, but also, amazingly enough, became a fan of Barry Sanders. That's probably from my desire to use him in Madden against my brothers because he was a great runner, obviously, and he was tough to tackle in Madden. Was a fan of the Packers in the game, used them a lot in Madden as well. It was usually either the Niners, the Packers, or the Lions. So if you're playing as your brother and he picks the Niners first, then I usually went to the Lions or the Packers. So, yeah, I've just always been a football fan. So I have Lions gear somewhere and an old Barry Sanders jersey I used to wear to school. I'm not sure where that is. But, you know, I'd like to mix it up.
One of the other things before we go that I thought was interesting in the E60 piece was you talking about your childhood and living on your aunt's, was it?
Llama Ranch.
Llama Ranch?
Yes.
What was... give us a glimpse into what it was like growing up for a while on that.
That was a great. You know what? That, as I look back now, that was a great time in my life. We were in between living in Ukiah, California, which is in Mendocino County, and moving up to Portland to be with my father, who was going back to chiropractic college. In the transition, my older brother Luke was actually playing all-star baseball in Ukiah. So Jordan and I and Mom went up to stay in Eagle Point, Oregon, at my Aunt Linda and my Uncle Nelson's Llama Ranch. My Aunt Linda is an incredible woman. She's my dad's older sister. She's just a lot of fun, and on that side of the family, my favorite aunt on that side of the family. But my Uncle Nelson, no joke, is like a living Indiana Jones. I mean, his life story is incredible about the stuff he's done all over the world. He's an archaeologist and just got an incredible stories. Crazy enough, they have a llama farm now. And so days consisted of, in the morning, my brother, who was, let's see, I think I was 10 at the time, so Jordan was 5 and a half or 6, him and I and Mom would rake the pins. So you can imagine a 5.5-year-old is tough to keep on task. So I was kind of in one pen trying to keep Jordan in line and not fight with him too much. And mom was kind of in the other, and she'd come and help out every now and then. But we'd do that in the mornings. And then the afternoons would be a wiffle ball and hunting lizards and looking at coyotes, through binoculars, who would kind of come around and try and look at the llamas and their bald eagles. There was fun hikes to go on. Always some RBI baseball on the Sega Genesis to play, which was it was like RBI 94 or 93, I think, and that was kind of the game of choice for us that summer. So that was a lot of fun, though. But my aunt and uncle were great to take us in during that time when Dad was going to summer school, and I look back on that and laugh, but also just remember a lot of good memories spent up there.
So I guess we know where you'll be when you someday retire.
On a llama ranch.
Opening your own llama.
I'm going to take theirs over.
Keep it in the family. Well, we will be back next week. Jason Pierre-Paul would say that we won't be talking about a Packers victory. We'll have to see if Jason Pierre-Paul is right or wrong. You've been listening to the Aaron Rodgers Show.